everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of Watching Stuff. We are back in to the MCU now. We had a long, somewhat exciting diversion with some good movies, but a lot of bad ones.
We're kind of limping back into it. We're stumbling down the stretch here.
Yeah, we're back into it. We've been through it, but we're back in, and I'll remember to actually say what we're listening to or watching this time before we get halfway through the episode. I am one of your hosts, Monty Moore, and I'm joined as always by both Aaron Alice and Dusty Evely. Guys, how are you?
Great.
Good. Very so tired. Great. I feel like I'm still hungover from last week's last holiday.
Perfect. You're limping in this one with the right attitude.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I said, so we're back in the MCU now. We took a break after Endgame, but now we're back to the first movie after Endgame in chronological order, which is one of my favorite movies in MCU. I know that's controversial for a lot of people, but yeah, we're doing Spider-Man Far From Home. This was 2019. So it's crazy. It was crazy to me when you think about in real time when this came out. Aaron, had you seen this before this episode?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We're back to movies you have seen.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen everything in the MCU at this point.
Okay, cool.
It's just like the one-off stuff like Fantastic Four and like the X-Men movies that I haven't seen. And I haven't seen Deadpool 2.
Deadpool's Tool. That might be in the next movie.
That's in the first one.
Sorry, I started thinking about Ryan Reynolds in my mind went in one place.
Yeah, it's crazy because this. So Endgame first came out. So Endgame was April of 2019, and then this came out in July of 2019.
I know it was quick. That's I didn't really know it was that quick.
I assumed it was like December or something.
Like this is Rotten Tomatoes. So yeah, April, July 2nd, 2019. Endgame was April 26th. So they didn't it was interesting because there wasn't a ton of downtime between seeing Tony Stark die on screen and then having this movie kind of obviously still revolve around him a little bit. But I feel like that was a smart thing to do because even though it seems quick, it's still you're still kind of mourning, right? It's not like it had been a year hadn't passed with two or three other Marvel shows in between or whatever. They immediately kind of still have you feeling that loss in the last movie.
Everywhere I looked, he was there, Monty.
Yeah, everywhere. Exactly.
But he really was I watched this later. I watched this very shortly after I watched Endgame, probably a week later.
Okay, but they do so a really, really good fresh
job.
For you.
Yeah, they did a really good job of how everybody was probably feeling, I would guess, about who is going to be the next Iron Man. They really did a good job of connecting of what is that going through everybody's mind watching this.
Yeah.
And then also more while mourning him and giving you kind of letting fans mourn, really.
Yeah.
It's I'm just guessing. I have no idea what the fuck people thought after Endgame because I don't really.
Oh, and people were definitely shell shocked. I mean, unless you saw the LaShawn McCoy tweet before you saw the movie.
Which I did.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, most people that didn't have it spoiled were definitely you got taken off guard by it for sure. I do. I forgot how much money this made. I mean, Marvel was obviously people were super excited to see this being the movie immediately after Endgame, but this made $1.13 billion.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Which, so you kind of alluded to it, and I guess I don't know. I don't understand why people didn't really seem to like this movie. I think it's a really, really good movie. I really like it.
When I saw the preview for the first time, I legitimately started laughing. The first trailer I saw when Jake Gyllenhaal shows up.
Oh, right.
Looking like friggin' Neon Gladiator. And what is this? Why does he look like this? And he's Mysterio. It makes sense. Yeah. All in context of everything, but just a very stark. And I was like, this movie could be really dumb.
Is that a that Tony looks Stark really joke? Dumb.
Yeah, it was a Tony Stark joke. But yeah, I mean, I rewatched this, what, a few days ago. I remember liking it. I think I've watched this, probably my third time watching it. I remember liking it. I don't remember loving it quite as much as I did this time. Like it's it's I think quite a bit better than Homecoming. I like Homecoming. I think it's better than Homecoming, and it's way better than whatever, I can't remember the name of the third one in the series.
Far From Home.
No way home.
Yeah, this is Far From Home. Like this is Christ. I think this is way better. Like as far as like the color of it, the way it looks, the web slinging, the story, everything, and we'll get to it. Everything besides the Ned story, I am 1000% on board with this movie. It's so good.
The thing that I'm like really impresses me about this movie though is if there was a way, like I think the way they create and explain Mysterio is the only way you could do it.
Oh, it's so good.
In live act. Like it obviously, oh, that's not very realistic as a superhero movie. But in a world of things that aren't real and crazy, like it makes sense the way they build his story up. And I love how they tie in, you know, he was around, he was in the background in other movies, right? He was he's the one that created the barf technology.
And I love the scene of him just standing backstage at that, yeah. Just all like My Chemical Romance-y, just like real mad. It's so great.
Yeah, and then they see Ralphie again too.
It's see Ralphie again. Yeah.
I was gonna say they pull him back from the first
sad,
one,
bald Ralphie getting humiliated.
Yeah. Yeah, what? Like that's like not natural, like.
No, he's been in other movies. His hair is fine.
I didn't realize how bad it looked in Iron Man. This movie, I'm like,
I feel like his head is higher.
It seems like it is
clearly covering up all of his hair. Yeah,
don't press it down. It has to rest like on top of my hair.
That is one of the things of like one of the complaints why people say they don't like it
the
so
hair?
Much is yeah, no, 100% the hair. Like they argue that the first. To Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man movie was already too much of Iron Man. And so now Iron Man's gone. And now this whole movie is the villain is because of him. And like this whole thing is about his backstory. So a lot of people are like, is this Spider-Man 2 or Iron Man 4? And I'm like, it is kind of a hybrid, but that's so important for what I think is the best part of this movie is what Peter's character arc is.
Right. And that is like, why I love this movie so much, because of that character arc.
Yeah.
Like it's because so many times, like in all of the other movies, like I know obviously in Homecoming, you're aware that he's a high school kid, but in this movie, like it's really like showing like him as like a raw high school kid. He's like, I just want to fucking be a high school kid. Like,
yeah.
And this like, it's almost like it's a PTSD layer to it. He's like, I've been through some crazy shit, lost some people I care about, and I'm like just trying to find and cling to some fucking normalcy, and I'm getting finally have this opportunity, I'm getting fucking pulled out of it, and I don't want to be here. And I you just feel that emotion as someone who's been a teenager, you know, like we all went through those feelings as kids of like the pull of responsibility and what's right versus what I want to do. Like it just felt like very realistic. And I think that was why I really love the way this movie plays out.
I also really love when it's played for a gag and I love it, but all the post blip stuff with the obviously have like the physical representation of Brad and all the Brad stuff is funny, but I love the gag of the basketball court. Mm-hmm. When they all come back and it's like the band disappears and they come back, because not only is it funny, but it also gives you an idea of what that is like in other places of the world. We get that in Yelena, we get that I think in Hawkeye when like she's in the bathroom and then she blips and she comes back and someone else is living there.
And
you get the blip is such a huge moment, but I feel like you don't get like a picture of really what that is like. And I think that basketball scene is a great gag, and it's such a great encapsulation of like, oh yeah, these people really would just be thrown back into wherever they were.
Yeah, for them it feels like around them. It feels like nothing happened.
Yeah,
like and that's one thing I appreciated about that Hawkeye scene with, or is it Black Widow that happens in?
I couldn't remember if it was Black Widow. It was Yelena.
It's at the end of Black Widow.
Yeah, the end of Black Widow. Okay,
that sounds right. Yeah. It's either the end or a post credit.
That
she disappears and then. It's an instant cut to the mirror and she reappears and you're like, oh, that was
cool. Right. And like, it takes the scene from this movie a little bit deeper and like shows you like the one, like you're watching
the more
one
personal.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, and it's because that was always like the things that people have talked about, like, oh, so like if you were on a plane and you were blipped and you returned, like, yeah, you're dead pretty much.
Yeah.
You were or just falling from the sky.
Or do you reappear in the plane?
Well, I guess you wouldn't be impacted by the crash, right?
Right.
You'd be but gone.
Like, right. Well, would you appear in the air? Place in the sky where the plane was?
Yeah.
Then you're dead.
Yeah. Or would you appear like if the plane is grounded somewhere, would you just appear on the plane?
That's what we need. There's a one shot for you. The guy
yeah, there we go.
The open air. The forgotten, oh, I'm back on nuts.
The forgotten blipped.
He blipped back into existence and was dead 30 yeah. seconds later.
I think the comedy in this movie is way better. Like, that's why I think this movie has a really good mix of being a lot of fun, but is also really serious.
Martin Starr in his bag in this.
Yes. J.B. Smoove in his bag too. Oh
my gosh. And Martin Starr's story about how his wife pretended to be blipped just to run off with our Pilates instructor, whatever. It kills me. You get J.B. Smoove talking about witches the whole entire back half of the movie.
As a man of science, witches.
Just screaming in the background of some scenes about witches. The witches, I told you, it's the witches.
This movie is way more egregious, though. When you're watching, you're just like, come on, everyone would know he's Spider-Man. Like,
he doesn't, like, that whole speech part at the beginning, he's standing next to his aunt and does not change his voice, and multiple times does not even bother to put his mask on when someone could be right there.
He is so casual about his mask in this one. Like,
his voice is cracking. He's talking to reporters. Like, I'm just a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Like, come on, put your back into it. Like, I know the Bale thing is like, everyone makes fun of the Bale voice and Batman, but he knew what he was doing. Like,
right.
you can't be identified by yourself. He talks like himself, and he does in Homecoming. He changes it, doesn't he? He's talking to
when he's in the elevator.
That's right.
And when he's talking to Donald Glover.
Yeah, he has like the deeper voice and all that. Like, just pretend, dude. Just fake it a little bit.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I hadn't seen. It's funny going back and watching these, like, because Zendaya is really good as Mary Jane, but like everything else she's in is like very like much more adult and like mature. It's like going back and watching these movies and she's playing like a high school kid. You're like, oh yeah, she's supposed to be like 15 in this movie,
like a sociopathic high school kid in this. Yeah. Like, she's obsessed with death and so fucking weird.
Yeah, she likes Black Dahlia,
right?
Because which of murder. I this is an Easter egg I knew, but it's one that I found. I in the comics, I guess that's a group of like street level heroes that like they protect I think they're in New York and they specifically like protect women from like domestic violence or whatever, but they're an actual group in the comics. I do like all the Marvel content that that like Peter's swiping through on his iPad.
Finding Wakanda.
And I do like the over like laying theme of Iron Man. I understand why, like how people, like I understand why people feel like, oh
yeah,
this is Iron Man 4, blah, blah, blah. But like I said, this is feels like it's necessary because it doesn't feel like it's necessarily talking to Peter, but it's also talking to the audience of people that are like freaking out that Iron Man has just been killed out of the MCU. So like,
it does
where do we go from here? And it's like there, it's not just about Peter.
It's also necessary. Some of that stuff too, I like just the thought process of it in terms of, I don't know if they thought specifically about this, but so much of the Iron Man stuff has been these sins from his past coming back on him, whether that's
right.
The missiles and in the cave and the first one, or whether that's Whiplash and, you know, the stolen equipment and stuff. I love that this is then like, he is dead. Those things don't go away. It's all like the sins of the father passed down to the son type of thing. Yep. It's still these, like all of these messes he has made, all of these enemies he's made, they don't suddenly stop. Iron Man's dead. I will simply be a good guy now. Like I like that we have this, like he was such a central figure in Marvel, in the MCU, in all of this stuff. It would make sense that there still would be people with grudges to hold against him that can't hold them against him. Like that they exist makes sense in this universe.
Right. Is Mysterio like what's he like in the comics?
So basically
stuntman?
Yeah, he's an ex Hollywood stuntman / like illusionist artist.
Oh, okay.
So the way they pull David Blaine.
David like,
Blaine. So like the way they work him into this is I really like what they did with his origin for what the MCU is.
Yeah. I will say, maybe jumping a little ahead, but the illusions in this with Peter are incredible.
Oh, this is this has arguably the best CGI in any of
the
any.
Nightmare like, dream sequence stuff is like just one of my favorite MCU scenes ever. Same. It is so well done.
Especially when you're watching, like if you read, like when you watch it, and if you just rewind it to that part again and watch that whole scene again and watch it through the lens of like what he's actually doing while all this is happening, it makes it like even crazier. Like creating those on the fly, essentially.
Here's what I'll say. There's no chance they create those on the fly. There's a 0% chance based on all the work they're putting into making sure, like, make sure we got the bullets right on the pillars, and they got like a whole team of people, and he's yelling at everybody like, oh, let me retrofit this warehouse into Spider-Man's very personal waking nightmare in 5 minutes. Like 0% chance it happens. There's no way that. I hope someone got fired for that blunder.
Yeah. I don't know where that hockey is.
I was going to say, I saved you the trouble, Aaron.
Yeah. I know.
I like.
Yeah, like it's so like, it gives me anxiety watching it. Like, this was an interesting movie to watch for me because I knew that Mysterio was bad because I had just like seen previews of it. I was like, when I started this movie, I am the most annoying person to watch movies with, by the way. My boyfriend who's seen all of these movies, he got me into this. I kept asking, I was like, well, isn't he like a bad guy? And he's like, I don't know. Just watch. Like, he knows. Like, of course, like I like know everything. So I'm like, you know, I think I know everything. I'm like, I swear to God, he was bad. And I was getting annoyed and I said it like 10 times. And then like, finally, when the twist happened, he was like, you see, you just need to watch and you'll find out. But that was kind of annoying to watch because like, I was like, oh, I know, like I was waiting for the shoot.
You're waiting for the turn. Just yeah.
Right. All right.
Reveal takes a long time, which I appreciate.
It really does.
They really slow play it.
Yeah.
Well, cause that's like, if you've read the comics at all, if you know much about Spider-Man comic, the one thing you know about Mysterio is like,
that he's bad.
He is always a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's like I understand you don't have that background there, but that's the thing. So if you have a passing familiarity with those comics, it's like, okay, they either completely change a story or this reveal's coming. It's just a matter of
when
and how. And like, I like why? When they finally did. I like that they took a while and I like when they finally did. I thought they nailed it, even if it did take a little bit of time to get
there. Right. Because it feels like he really does, they do a good job of establishing like some sort of relationship between Peter and Beck. Because obviously it needs to feel real that Peter feels comfortable handing over this insane, powerful technology to somebody to the point that he has to see him in action doing like this big stuff. And then,
he's clearly seeking out, like, you know, that other like father figure. Right. Cause like now Tony's gone and like all that.
Again, who's going to replace Iron Man in Peter Parker's life.
Yeah. And I forgot that in the comic, like they did a nice nod, how like, you know, Ned and Betty are dating in this movie. They actually did date in the comics for a while, but I know the Ned storyline is kind of like annoying in this. It's just like,
pointless. It legitimately like, and I messaged you guys and I joked already. I thought about it after the fact and I was like, there's literally nothing. This is not a shot at Ned, whatever. Like if you want the comedic, and then part of it is like, he's the comedic sidekick, whatever. I don't
think I feel like needed. We see the movie through, like we see all these movies through his lens.
Right. Kind of. But like the comedy, I think, comes from other places. You don't need him. But if you remove him from the equation, if you take him entirely out of the story, he doesn't deliver any pieces of news.
No,
the only thing he really does is the whole like the Ferris wheel scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That gives Peter a reason to save them, but we know Peter would save whoever was on there anyway. It didn't.
Yeah, it doesn't have.
Eddie entirely, and there's nothing misses from the story whatsoever. I'm not a huge fan of him anyway, and that really annoyed me for some reason. That's the only thing, and I was like,
yeah,
you could remove him and miss nothing here.
I mean, sort of, because like to me, like it's like it's giving Peter someone to talk to, like right now, like as this scene in Venice. Like I feel like he does serve that kind of purpose, and I feel like that's kind of important that like Peter's talking through what's going on. So us, like it's for us, the audience, to know what's going through his head.
He could talk to himself. I think you're fine.
That would be weird. But I understand. I get what you're saying. But like since MJ was not that person yet that knows, like he was going to have to talk through to somebody. Also, but who else would have gotten shot by Nick Fury?
But then he talks to Beck. Eventually, like Ned just kind of comes in and out of the story. You can replace him with any number of other people. Like, I don't feel like the connection that they have from the previous movie.
He did it. He did way more in the first movie.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. I do like that they did another nod, like after this scene when they're trying to figure out like what the hell happened. And Flash is like, I read on BuzzFeed or whatever that someone got trapped underwater with a generator. That's how Hydro Man in the comics actually
really.
That's like his actual origin. So like they kind of give you Hydro Man in this movie. You kind of get Sandman.
At the very beginning, yeah.
At the very beginning. And then the Fire Elementals, like there's a character called Molten Man, so you basically get him. So like
That was my next question.
They kind of give you some Spider-Man villains without really giving you some Spider-Man villains, which I thought was cool.
So are the Elementals like not like a villain? Like they're just like what you were saying, like they kind of are representing these other villains.
There are also Elementals in the comics, but they're not used kind of like this.
Got it.
They're more of just like any other like celestial,
like yeah, the kind of the boring cosmic beings in Marvel stuff, more or less.
One of those, like, these have always been in existence for millenniums.
You're familiar with the Eternals?
Yeah.
Great. I already fucking hate it. Suddenly I don't like this movie.
But yeah, I mean,
references the Eternals.
I mean, I think how this whole movie has incredible effects, like even like all the elemental stuff is great. And I mean, when again, one of the big complaints about modern, well, this is modern, but you know, present, like phase 5, phase 6 MCU is like the CGI is bad. Like this is really, really good still.
Yeah, if you look at this and then, watch No Way Home, I don't think there's any comparison as far as that. This is like brightly lit.
Yeah,
it looks great. And then the Far From Home No Way Home is like much cheaper looking or darker looking. Or something.
Like they really took their time with this one. I'm very surprised that people don't like this movie that much. I think it's fantastic. Because like I said, there's all the emotional layers to it. You also get like the relationship with Happy. That's really fun. I really enjoyed that.
The moment of Happy watching Spidey make a suit is just, oh man, brings a tear to your eye. It's so good.
Yeah. And then he puts on AC/DC.
Love Led Zeppelin. You get zombie Iron Man in this as well.
Oh, that's so good. Which is
awesome. It looks great.
Yes.
I like the Spider-Man mask with the eyes are all black. That's a good one. That's a really sweet visual. I think the him in Mysterio's like snow globe head part is like one of the coolest. That's in my like background rotation on my laptop. Like that's awesome. that I've had on there basically since this movie came out.
Well, that's where we talk about the CGI. Like, if it's clear enough that you could take a screenshot that it's like high enough quality to be a background, like,
yeah,
the CGI is just that good in this movie. And I can't imagine how difficult that CGI for all of that, the two illusion scenes, like, would be to make. Like, just it looks flawless. Like, it gives me anxiety watching it because
it's nonstop. He seems like he's always falling into something else. Like, no matter what's happening, he's falling into a new trap and he's running away and hitting. Like, it's the entire thing. It's nonstop. And it's what, 5 minutes long?
It's long.
It's long. Yeah.
And then when they give you a break in it, the illusion is still up when he's pretending to be Nick Fury. Like, you're like, ooh, wow, that was crazy. And then,
then he gets still fucking going. Hit by a fucking train. and he gets his ass kicked in this movie.
Messed him up pretty good.
That also is what I really like, is that you see him limping and, like, hurting and being vulnerable.
Yeah,
like,
he loses in this movie a couple times.
Yeah, and, like, even at the end, like, he's struggling to continue. Like, it's... And I love that because it just feels more realistic. Like, he was hit by a fucking train. He's not just going to pop up and be like, I'm fine.
That thing was moving. He should be dead. He should be dead.
It was like a bullet train.
It was.
I do like the happy and like May dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like John Favreau's this is the best role he's like ever played. He's so
good. So this is just, I mean, he's just always Mikey from Swingers, just in different,
yeah,
in different levels. This is almost the most Mikey, and it's like, oh, he's happy. Look, he found love. Mm-hmm. But apparently not the way that he maybe thought. It's not, right. Not I love defined it. I love in the way that he hoped.
It's complicated with May Parker.
I love he's like, I don't want to talk to Nick Fury. You talk to him.
Right. What I do love is this is our first kind of intro to the multiverse, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's
yeah.
It's
like, yes and no, right?
Like it's not real, but they do, yeah. But they do like mention it, and like
Earth Peter gets all excited. And yeah, they mention
right.
A lot, yeah.
So they do mention it. So it's like the first kind of like little teaser we get for kind of what's coming.
The Earth, the Earth he says that he's from is in the comics. That's like where that's the universe where Spider-Man UK is the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man UK.
That's 833. Is that what they said? Was 833. Yeah. It's funny because I mean, so I get ready for these episodes. You know, I watch the movie. That's most of my prep, and then I will read, you know, just like Easter eggs, which is
yeah.
I stopped doing because that whole stretch of non MCU was like very little of anything.
Yeah, there really weren't
any. This movie. There was a ton, but the vast majority of it was like every license plate is a reference to something.
That's what John
Locke does. Of the Easter eggs. It's like
yeah,
like TASM 837 is a reference to the Amazing Spider-Man 837 where this happens. And it's all stuff either backed in the movie or stuff they want to put in and didn't. But it's like every single license plate references something, and that was almost all of the Easter eggs. It was like
yeah, John Watts does that in every Spider-Man movie. Always look for license plates or like plane tag numbers or like the numbers on the boats.
Except not in Thor.
Except not that. Thor.
Not Thor.
I'm still bitter about that. I was like, oh my God, this has to be something.
I spent 30 minutes looking for that plane. It means something. They spent too much time on it. It means something.
It was like, oh.
Well, and I one of the other things I looked up was his luggage, right? Because it's BFP, which I knew was Ben Parker. Well, I didn't know what his middle name was, and apparently
it's Franklin.
They've never revealed what the middle name is, but apparently, yeah, that was Steve Ditko said they it's rumored that he based it on Benjamin Franklin. So it's just like Benjamin Franklin Parker is what's on the luggage. I did not know that.
I still think it's fucking.
It probably is. They've never actually said for sure.
I think it's cool that they just even gave us a little shot on the suitcase because they didn't have to do that.
Yeah,
and like, they never expound on it. No one's gonna think about it. But like, if you know, you know. And I kind of like that. Like, mm-hmm. They don't have to expound on it and give us a backstory, like they did in the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, who that belonged to before? Was that his uncle? I wish I knew that story.
Yeah. Wow. They didn't explain where the fuck he got that luggage.
Why is May dating? I hope someone got fired for that. She wasn't married prior. Oh, this is crazy. Oh man, I wish I knew May's backstory.
Did you guys? Okay, so like obviously. One of the things, like, because this is the first time we see Nick Fury in this movie, so I'm bringing up the after credit scene now. So, like, we find out he's a Skrull, obviously. Yeah. I remember thinking, I didn't know anything that this, like, I didn't think he was a Skrull or anything, but I do remember thinking when I saw this in the theater, I was like, he seems, like, unusually, like, an asshole even more than normal in this. Like,
kind of weird.
He, like, never had, he really doesn't have any, like, comedic relief lines like he normally does other than the now that's a bunch of bullshit line
right
like but other than that he's just like really mean the whole time. You're kind of like he kind of seems off, and then you find out at the end that's
well why. they hand wave it early with like I was blipped, I don't have my contacts anymore, I've been gone for 5 years. It was like very hand wavy in terms of like he doesn't know what's going on, he's trying to get caught up, and so it is like kind of one of those. Okay, yeah, I mean, I guess that probably makes sense. Like that would make mm-hmm. sense. But his personality is like Nick Fury without being 100% like Nick Fury.
Right. They really did a good. I'm assuming it was intentional, or maybe they just retconned it. They were like, you know what, Samuel L. Jackson fucked up acting in this movie. Let's just make him a Skrull.
Well, because the other thing too is like they do kind of the situation kind of explains, right? Like if you were gone for 5 years and came back and he's someone that likes to be in control all the time and now he doesn't know what the hell's going on. I'm sure he would be a little upset, right?
Right.
But yeah, like just the way like directly towards Peter Parker, you're just like, man, this guy's ornery. My God.
Well, and like not seeming like there's any connection to Tony Stark, like you don't feel, because there's like obviously a lot of talks about that and he doesn't seem to have that emotional connection. like to understand why it's a big deal for Peter, for the world to be mourning Iron Man. So like, I don't know. He just really doesn't talk about it. I don't know. There's like definitely some emotional disconnection in all of how he acts. And I think it was done really well. Cause I do remember watching this and being like, why is he like just acting like such an asshole? Like he's, like, I don't know. It's just weird.
The Mysterio costume's really good. Like we talk about how they can't really take the comic accurate and make it look realistic, but it looks pretty good.
He's got a fishbowl on his head. Like, how are they going to make that look good? Yeah. I thought they did a really good job with it. I laughed the first time I saw it because it's so wildly out of place. Because it just looks like he stepped out of Gladiator and they added some neon lights to it. But it's
right.
They nailed the look of it.
It's very Thor looking. He looks. Yeah. It's a very Thor looking costume.
I think Jake Gyllenhaal is really good in this, by the way.
Jake Gyllenhaal's good in everything.
Yeah, he does. Although a great job.
He's apparently potentially like losing his mind. Did you guys hear that?
Either that or the other. Yeah, because there's a thing that came out today or something.
Wait, what? Like in real life?
What was the phrase he said? He got kicked off a movie they were filming by the ocean. He says if he took off all of his clothes and jumped in the ocean. And he said, "If I see the sea, I swim in the sea."
What? I did not see this.
Yeah. I mean, I swear to God, they really know when we're filming.
That's hilarious.
Jake Gyllenhaal. I see the sea. Yeah, swimming in the sea.
Yeah. Stripping. Okay, so an indie movie suddenly fell apart. Well, okay, this is confusing. The movie's name is Suddenly. An indie movie suddenly fell apart because it's not Suddenly Fell Apart. It's
right, yeah.
The movie suddenly fell apart. After Jake Gyllenhaal showed erratic behavior, including stripping to his underwear and diving into the freezing ocean, saying, "When I see the sea, I swim in the sea." Constant script rewrite demands, doing his rehearsal in a Pepe Le Pew-like accent.
That one's my favorite. That's my favorite.
All right, I got to see this movie when it comes out. This sounds great. Saying
set builders should sleep in their cars to prevent COVID spread.
That seemed like this movie sucks. I don't want to do it anymore. How do I get kicked off of this movie?
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe he really doesn't like. He's pulling over like Wesley Snipes trying to get kicked off Blade. Like,
let's Blade see 3. How far I can push the envelope.
Yeah.
That being said, he's great in this.
Yeah. I mean, again, like for those of us that knew Mysterio's bad, you're waiting for the turn, blah blah blah. If you didn't know anything about that, like you're rooting for him for until you're not.
Like I said, I was very confused. I'm like, I don't know if I should root for him because like he's very likable.
Yeah.
And like his relationship with Peter, I was like, what is going on? Even though I knew
I love how over the top they get in that last battle where he's watching like the screen going, he's just screaming, "For my family."
Yeah.
Like he's pushing it like as high as he possibly can. Like, all right, we gotta whatever the hero stuff is, we gotta jump that stuff up, man. Just screaming the most nonsensical stuff. It's tremendous.
And I do like after you find out that he's the villain, like they do a very good job of his team's like hip hip hooray around him, and then like they slowly start to be like, this guy's crazy. Cause like when they start to be like, that's gonna be a lot of casualties, like, yeah, oh well, like.
Yeah,
they can rebuild.
I'm gonna go kill a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, well, obviously, he said that Stark Industries called him unstable, and it's like you slowly start to see
wonder why.
Yeah. The final fight scene though of him and that like little bridge is like with his Peter tingle is so fucking amazing.
I think they do an awesome job of. They don't ever really explore, the spider sense until that scene, basically, because that takes away the only advantage Mysterio has the entire time. And they like that again. That's like good character arc, good character progression. And
second movie, so he has to lose his powers. So
yep. They gotta deal with that issue,
right? And then he loses his web, like he runs out. Right.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, the whole drone fight scene, that sequence is like over half an hour long. It is.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Because you get the whole like happy with leading a ragtag group of high schoolers with a mace. You get that whole scene as well.
Shield. That's hilarious.
How does Cap do this?
Like, well, he's not throwing a what's probably an iron medieval shield either. So
it's like the like a light strong metal.
Yeah. I'm sure Happy would have had better luck throwing the actual.
Yeah, that's like whatever shield. Happy picked up weighed 300 pounds. I was saying, we just got to the part where Peter put on the glasses. For as smart as Tony Stark is,
this would be the dumbest thing of all
build
time.
In better security controls, dude. Like, yeah. Like, what are we doing? He did that, and then there was the whole Milo thought was, and he wasn't actually Quentin Beck, but with the whole, like, as powerful as these glasses are, wouldn't they know Jake Gyllenhaal? Wouldn't they
recognize him? Right. That's a good point.
He worked for Stark Industries.
Yeah, he's got to be on a list. There's no way he'd be like, yeah, sure, transfer this over. Like, this is the worst security protocols.
Boy, well, happy somebody got fired for that blunder.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal did.
He did get fired.
That's the whole point of the movie, Aaron.
Where you been?
Right. Well, I just think also giving this technology to a fucking high school kid is also fucking stupid.
Oh, did you guys notice what Edith when he's looking at everyone's phones?
I just noticed it's a history of witchcraft.
Yeah, he's Googling the history of witchcraft.
That's amazing.
I like this bus scene is really good. But the thing I always go back to is they do a really good job of showing you like how strong he is compared to normal people because he knocks Flash out by accident.
That was so fucking funny.
Like just like barely slapping him. You're like, oh, yeah, he's like really strong, but you don't really ever like remember that.
Just knocks him out cold.
This is my second favorite character, by the way, the bus driver that they put on the
Dimitri. Yeah.
Get shit done. Just like the most evil looking man.
Yeah.
I would not get on a bus.
Yeah, I was gonna say you wouldn't get on that bus.
A guy wearing all black.
Yeah, should you
like
be wearing
looking like that?
A uniform with some type of logo on it.
Also, I love how careless this scene is. Of like, she just wants him to change. Sorry, nobody knows what the fuck we're watching. It's where the woman gives him his new
take off your clothes.
His night monkey outfit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why wouldn't she be like, go change into it? Like,
yeah.
In another room.
It's clearly we need Peter to get caught with his underwear.
Yeah. Right. But like, it's like the whole movie, he's incredibly careless. Like the fact that when they're in Venice, and I understand why he doesn't have a suit with him, but like, he puts on a little jester mask, and I'm like, if any of the students see him, they're gonna know.
That's the thing. That's what I had. Like, he's wearing what he was wearing with the group.
Right. At least like take off your shirt to at least make it seem like
all like, someone would have to do is look up at any moment and be like, hey, that guy's wearing exactly what Peter was wearing.
Hey, where is Peter?
Right. And so
that can't be him. There's a Mardi Gras mask. He wasn't wearing one of those.
It's Clark Kent. It's just a Clark Kent.
The Marvel disguise.
Yeah. It just wears his sunglasses. He wasn't wearing sunglasses, Aaron.
Yeah, that's the only thing missing.
I like that Brad looks the same age as everyone else, but he's supposed to look way older than everyone.
Well, he was five years younger, right? So he was like, he's now the same age as them.
Well,
yeah, like I think he was like 12.
Wait, did he get blipped?
He didn't get blipped. Brad did.
Oh,
not.
Okay.
No, there's a whole thing in the opening thing when they're doing the announcements at school where they're Brad Davis, who was like eight, isn't like it was something like that. So yeah, he was.
I know, because I thought that same thing because when he said, oh, I've got the hots for MJ, I said out loud, I was like, isn't he like 21 years old? No, my boyfriend had to
Brad, see you in court.
Learn how to court,
Chris
buddy.
Chris Danson, line one.
There really is that everyone in the class get blipped except for him. I mean, I guess there are characters we see in passing. Like,
yeah, we just don't know.
Who's that girl? I've never seen her before, but the vast majority, I'm like flat. Like all the major players did, and then the one guy that did not. They're like, well, he didn't get blipped, so now we'll just focus on him. But I guess there are like 10 other people we don't really know who they are. So.
Yeah, I like that they always have Flash live streaming through the movie, And then that payoff at the end is that's where he can figure out where they are.
Which I don't like that he was proven to be correct in live streaming because everything he does is obnoxious. I don't like that was like, oh, that was a good decision. Yeah, don't encourage him.
One thing, because we're on the bus scene where the drone comes from, like, you know, a satellite circling the earth. I hope someone got fired for that blunder is all of those drones coming down out of like a satellite. You know, the amount of people that would fucking see that, like NASA would probably be like, what the fuck is like entering our atmosphere? Number one, how would those even survive entering the atmosphere?
Well, they're Stark like, drones, so they could survive anything. Right. Yeah.
But like NASA would be like, what the fuck is this? There's the only thing I could think of something flying into the earth.
The only thing I can think of is now that they like because they have Edith, like they could probably override all those protocols because it's like the most advanced technology in the world. So like that's one of those, you know, again, they make it have that EMP whenever they're in the area to like block out everyone from seeing that they're drones. Right. So I'm sure they could do something like that. But there's a shit ton that come down in that like, last scene.
There's hundreds, maybe 1,000.
Oh, there's easily thousands.
People from like towns and like states over would see that. Like
it looks like a swarm of locusts descending from
space. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Another note that I had was Tom Holland in Holland, which anybody?
Gracious.
I thought I was very clever.
I think
we got to make sure we get this in the movie. No, he has to go
that
here.
I think that scene with him and Happy on the plane, though, I think that's his best acting by far in any MCU movie that he's in. Mm-hmm. Like he's really, really good in that scene.
It's very, because Monty, like what you said, his character arc is so good and it just kind of all boils down to that one scene where you just feel all of these emotions because he's like planting the seeds of everything of like, I just want to go like hang out with MJ. I just want to hang out with my friends. I just want to have a normal summer where I'm not having to save the world. And then it just all boils over and it's just like, oh, it's a very good payoff. I'll say that.
You guys like the black and red suit?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's really
with the cool. little flying squirrel thing.
Yeah. Oh, the web wings.
Yeah. That's a way cooler name than flying squirrel.
Armpit webs.
I did also have written down that when I should have mentioned this, like it's actually like the Fury scene where when we were talking about Fury, he says maybe Stark was wrong. And I'm like, that was so unnecessary to fucking
Like he's cruel in this.
Yeah, like, I was like, I understand him saying like, I need to know if you're in or out. I need to rely on you. I understand him saying all of that. And then he said, maybe Stark was wrong. I'm like, that was
at that moment. I was like, is he trying to get him to give the glasses away to back? Yeah. Like, is that the end goal here? That's what he's manipulating him towards. No, he's just tell us. Just be the dick.
Doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah. Should I be mean to this child? I think I should be mean to this child.
Bully this little punk.
Too full of his britches. Look at him.
I'm gonna trigger his PTSD.
Just take him down a notch. Yeah, he never loved you. Tony Stark never loved you.
Peter had a really long night, but I mean, we've all woken up in a Holland jail cell.
I thoroughly enjoyed this.
After a bender.
Yeah. That was so lovely, that whole scene. Can I borrow your phone? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
my thought at the tail end of that, though, is like, don't land the plane of the tulips, man. It's such a beautiful field. Land it somewhere else. It doesn't have to
Did you notice none of the tulips were damaged somehow?
Right. Like, somehow.
How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, Tony Stark builds a hell of a plane, man.
That is environmentally friendly mega jet somehow.
Turn on the tulip engine. Keep it so it doesn't crush them.
Going into tulip mode.
I love Aaron. I don't think we've talked about Aaron. It's in your header. I love that Edith stands for Even Dead, I'm the Hero. Just a tremendous reveal.
It's so perfect.
Ridiculous. Just very Tony Stark.
Yeah, that's exactly like that. That's very believable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love, I'm running down the rest of my notes here. I love the Night Monkey name. I love that it's on the news. In different languages, I love just everywhere is Night Monkey. That kills me.
In the
Spider Monkey mention was just too perfect to connect
in this in the Spider-Man maybe it was game.
Spider Monkey.
Spider-Man game. I use the Night Monkey costume probably the most.
It looks Wait, great.
Is that real? Like, is Night Monkey from the comics?
No, but they put that suit in the Spider-Man game because of the movie.
I mean, it really looks a lot like give him a trench coat and a hat and a Spider-Man noir, basically.
Yeah, that's right? Clearly, yeah, it's definitely what they based it out off yeah. of. Yeah.
Why is it always windy? Where's the wind coming from?
I thought the scene with the fire elemental and the, you know, when it gets revealed, like when he notices something's off because he hits like one of the projectors or whatever. I thought that was really cool because they do a great job of making it seem like that's going to be the climax of the movie. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, this clearly isn't.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're like, there's an hour left. Like, where the hell are you going to go with this?
Right.
But then, they work that perfectly into, you know, that's how MJ finds out and like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I love the post-credit scenes. Well, one of them, at least. The J.K. Simmons reveal.
Oh, yeah.
You finally get J.K. Simmons.
When that happened in the theater, that was wild.
J.K. Simmons, like, is J. Jonah Jameson at his Newsmax channel. Just
Right. Like, InfoWars.
Before you saw it was him, the reporter was like, we got this clip from the Daily Bugle. I was like, no way. And then, yeah, he showed up like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So good.
And that was the first time we got to see Spider-Man swing through downtown New York. Like, mm-hmm. He'd been in Queens. He's been in the German airport. He's been in outer space. Mm-hmm. He's been, you know, like, very briefly do you see it in Infinity War, like, barely.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it doesn't even count. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, he's swinging like through.
I hadn't thought about that we hadn't really seen that before.
Yeah. And that's why they that's a long swinging scene. I think for that reason, they're like, you after four or five movies, basically, you finally get to see him do that. And he swings through Avengers Tower, which they don't show like the top of. So you don't know who's currently owning it.
OK, so that is like a big topic. Apparently, we're going to find that out soon.
There's a couple different like theories. I think some people say, is that going to be the Baxter building?
Yeah.
Some people think, is that like where Kingpin is?
No,
like,
the Baxter building's like in a field in Oklahoma, Monty. It's a two-story building in Oklahoma. I'm sorry.
I forgot all about that one already.
Oh, God.
In my opinion, I hope it ends up being like that's like where Kingpin is. Like,
I kind of hope that too.
Once the Avengers were gone after Endgame, they got broken up. Like, Kingpin rises to power, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a bunch of money. He takes over and his HQ is an old Avengers Tower.
Yeah, that would be pretty badass.
Fisk Tower or something now.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. But obviously, but I think what's cool is that, like, because this is a buildup from the Homecoming, because that's when it was sold. Like, that, like, so. It feels like it would be Kingpin because it's feeling like it's heading towards like Kingpin to be a part of the Spider-Man. Like, there's going to be that overlap between, like, at least they're teasing that of Daredevil, Spider-Man, because obviously Daredevil showed up in No Way Home. So like, you think there's going to be that crossover. I feel like that would be kind of a perfect kind of circle to loop Kingpin back in because of like, oh, they sold the tower in the Spider-Man movie, so like bring it back.
Well, and he's
the next Spider-Man movie or something.
He's
else.
The Spider-Man villain. Like,
yeah, I did not know that.
It's between him, Dr. Octopus, or Green Goblin. Like, those are the three. Mm-hmm. And for where they're taking the MCU, like it should be him. He should be the
well, and he's the main. I mean, when I think of him, there's Spider-Man, but also, Daredevil. He's a big Daredevil villain. So if you're bringing him in, it makes sense to make him a bigger part of that whole group.
Which is why that why I get excited, because that means they're turning Spider-Man into a more street level hero, like he's supposed to be. Where they
that's one of my favorite. The biggest laughs in this movie was the like, I'm just your favorite neighborhood Spider-Man. It's a bitch, please. You went to space, like,
right? And then they're like, asking about all this serious.
I love, and we've talked about this with Civil War, talked about all the movies. I love that they drop Spider-Man into this stuff. That you get like, you don't have to get the backstory. You don't get Uncle Ben. We know all that stuff, but I've not really thought about how much we have missed those early days. We've not seen that street level stuff because it's always been the first time you see him is literally like a fight between the Avengers and one of the biggest set pieces of the Marvel in the stuff.
Entire MCU. Yeah. Like
you have all of these different things that have been happening. He's involved in these high level things. We've not seen him as a street level guy. It would be nice to kind of see. He clearly wants to get back to that. It would be nice to kind of see that.
I think it's the third or fourth time he says, "I'm just a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man." Like
we've not seen that.
He doesn't want to be taking on cosmic threats all the time.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is like I've read, I can't even remember where I was reading it, so it could be complete horseshit. But that Sony and Feige are not getting along with where to take Spider-Man.
Yeah, they're not.
That Sony wants to make it more of a big, like Earth world type.
Yeah, look what they're doing with Madame Web.
Right.
Her mother researched spiders in Africa, Monty. So I think she knows what she's talking about.
If it goes as long as we think, one day we'll do that movie.
Oh my gosh.
One day we're going to have to do Madame
Web. Hopefully we'll get canceled before that.
Years from now, Monty. Hopefully years from now.
We'll watch the 1970s Doctor Strange before we get to that.
If you watch, I mean, listen, the tangent here, but if you've seen what Sony did with Amazing Spider-Man and then Morbius and now what looks like Madame Web, maybe you just say, hey, Kevin Feige, maybe just do what you want to do with this.
Yeah.
We'll follow your lead here.
Because that's why Tom said stuff like, I'm really excited depending on like the direction they want to take the story.
He's not admitting.
By now, like Dusty said, Sony should know that like just reap the monetary benefits of letting
free money, man. It's free money. Just let them do what they're gonna do.
Let them do it. You're gonna make millions and upon millions of dollars off of this. Like, don't give any input. Like you've tried.
Spider-Man's gonna be like shooting, like, oh, he's shooting his galaxy webs. In this Sony movie, and like,
he's like
over.
Webbing whole planets around and swinging each other.
Oh, his black hole web, and that's how he's able to travel between dimensions.
What? That sounds all right, old. Guys. Okay, all calm down.
That's the movie he rented in the hotel.
Black hole web is my favorite. Favorite mid-90s grunge song. Yeah.
That's the name of my Soundgarden cover band. All right, anybody got any other notes before we rate this?
I don't think so.
I love, the mid-credit scene we talked about. We got the end-credit scenes here are insane.
Yeah, like they're big. And I, watching this, I got angry all fucking over again about Secret Invasion.
At who?
Secret Invasion. About
I don't know what you're referring to. I don't know what you're referring to. Is that a movie?
No. It's nothing. It's a thought and nothing else. It was a dream. It didn't really happen. It did not really happen. Maria Hill is still thriving and living life to the fullest. No, but it's just like that. It was very disappointing because like it seemed like, oh my God, he was on like a special mission. And then it turns out he was just up there because he was fucking sad. Like,
it looked pretty dope up there though. Oh,
pretty cool. But like, he's just like sad. And I'm like, okay, I get that happens to us, but like everybody, but like, I don't know.
Listen, I get sad. If I had the opportunity to do that, I would do it. I'll hang out off world for a little bit.
Nick Fury would not.
He's really sad.
You know how much PTO that dude has, though?
Probably.
Yeah, he's got to burn some of that every
what
now
does
and then.
What he work for, though?
Us.
I don't know. We pay his salary, pal.
Yeah. Who's giving him the PTO, then? Not me. I didn't sign off on it. No, but that was like, it just made me angry all over again with where the direction they took Secret Invasion, because it seems like a very exciting, you're like, oh my God, why is Nick Fury in space? Oh, because he's depressed. Okay, thanks.
You didn't like when she grew Thor's arm? You didn't like when she, one of her Hulk was one of her legs, she had a Hulk leg? You didn't
Oh my God, it was so bad.
It's because like the idea of it sounds so good. of like having all these powers. It was just executed so fucking horribly.
It came at the end of a series. I was just like, this series is bad. And that was like the capper of it. Like, well, if they nailed the ending, you're like, oh, okay, they didn't nail the ending.
They did not
nail the ending. Yeah, because like, I mean, and it also hurts because like the first episode and a half, I think the first two episodes I was in. I was like, oh my God.
I was hooked. After the second one.
Yeah, and then it just, after that one, went completely downhill.
It's literally like the meme of like the horse drawing, right? Where it's like really good, and then it's just like a shitty stick figure. That is, like, it has never applied to anything more than Secret Invasion.
Well, can't wait to watch that one too.
All right, so we'll go ahead and then we'll rate this one. So we've been going with Erin first because this was her first time seeing it. But we're done giving her privilege because she's seen this already. So, Dusty, we'll start with you.
Got that white woman privilege.
We've been meaning to talk to you about that. As a white man, I'm even meaning to talk to you.
He's been meaning to mansplain it.
Wanting your privilege a little too much. You see, what privilege is, Erin?
Everybody's equal.
I don't even see color. I say as a movie by itself, I mean, I don't know, man. Let's give it a 9. Let's give it a 10. Let's give it a 10. Let's give it 10s across the board. I'm feeling good today. Because I mean, it is, the web swinging's tremendous. The action's great. Any of the problems I have with it are nitpicky. I do feel like it's one, like, you obviously coming into this with some advanced knowledge of what's going on is helpful, but it also works well as a standalone movie. Like, you get the like, oh, Tony Stark's dead. Okay, you can figure out Iron Man's dead from the context.
Yeah,
get the stuff. That's fine. But then it's all like, the villain is a standalone villain. You get all the stuff that's in there in terms of like why he's bad. You get the flashback scenes to that. So don't feel like you're missing anything. And then, all the action's great. The acting is great. The characters are great. I mean, getting Gyllenhaal as this villain and just like absolutely chewing scenery to the point where he's like supposed to be, he's playing a role the entire time. He is so good. So I will give
While he's acting.
Oh my gosh, so good. So I'll give it as a 10. And I think this was my favorite Happy Hogan in this movie. He's so good. Zendaya is tremendous. And then for MCU, and we've talked about movies you have to watch in order to keep going. This is a bridge movie. After all of the stuff that happens, like, you have to watch this to see how they get from point A to point B. Again, it kind of puts into context some of the blip stuff that we've had, but it also kind of kicks us forward from like what comes after the death of Iron Man. And some of that stuff is still somewhat of an open question. I don't know if that's fully answered here. He embraces it somewhat, but it is one of those to get from point A to point B. Like, this is a huge part of that. And I think it nails, I mean, of all the stuff we talked about, it nails kind of what they're trying to go for. And as far as just that comic book movie and fitting into the MCU, I think it's darn close to perfect if it's not perfect. So I'll give it 10s because I'm feeling good tonight.
All right,
you don't want to give it like a 9.7 or something?
I was leaving that up to you.
Okay.
Because you keep track of your scores or want to keep track of your scores and don't.
Yeah.
I do not. I don't care. I gave Blade Trinity's 10s, I'm pretty sure.
You did.
I think you did. I think I gave it like 5.
You admittedly said it doesn't deserve those scores, but you can't rate it anything Monty, different.
I need to see this Google sheet where you're tracking all of our scores, even though you say you're not doing it.
I kind of wish I did, because I wish I would have like done that just for curiosity to see where we all kind of lie. But too late now. I'm not going back to listen. don't care enough. I'm also going to give it 10s. Like, it is really good. I think it might be my favorite of the Spider-Man MCU movies. I think the visual of it is so captivating. It, like I said, those illusion scenes like are so, so good. And this is a movie where if it was on TV, I would watch it. Like, if it came on 100%.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing, like, they do such a great job with like that opening thing of like, oh, here's what happened, the blip. Like, you don't need any context going into it. The only thing that might be somewhat confusing is like the backstory where he's talking about his connection to Tony Stark, because you don't really fully know what barf is, but like they kind of explain it, but like obviously those are the only two little things that you really don't have context in. And so I think it's 10s both the way.
I didn't mention it, but the announcement thing at the beginning, that the school announcements always kill me because they nail the aesthetic and look of those.
Yeah.
And the in memoriam segment with the candles with the little Getty Images watermark on it. Perfect. Just
that is no perfect. Notes.
Absolutely perfect. They nail it.
Yeah.
I'm going 10s also. I'm glad we all feel the same way about this movie, because I believe this is one of those overhated MCU movies.
Which is so wild to me.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I think it's gotten popular to say is bad or cheesy or corny or whatever. Because again, it immediately follows Endgame, which again, an impossible movie to follow. Like, I mean, you can't.
Right.
Infinity War was impossible to follow, and the only reason they could do it with Endgame is because it wrapped up the story. Like,
right.
What most people believe is the greatest arc of comic book stories ever is over now, and they have to start, you know, not fresh, because they still talk about all the stuff that happened. But again, like, this is immediately following. It's a tough act to follow, and I think they do an amazingly good job. Like I said, they nail the humor and mix that in with the fact that when the movie starts to get serious and heavy, like, they still blend that in. I think the pacing is good, which is,
oh yeah,
that's what's most surprising, is like, when the switch gets flipped, the movie feels totally different, but it's paced well. Like, it doesn't feel abrupt. It doesn't feel like they rushed into showing us who Mysterio was, or after we find out, it's not like the next scene is immediately his master plan. Like, they still,
well, I also don't feel like it was too slow. It does come late, but I also don't feel like it was too slow either.
Yeah. Well, the reveal just happened. We're an hour in, right? So
yeah.
So basically a little more than halfway, you figure it out. So I'm giving it a 10 as just a normal movie. And then comic book movie also a 10, just because of all the things we said. It gives you just enough nostalgia and Easter eggs. It gives you just enough, you know, if you're familiar with Mysterio in the comics, you recognize a lot of cool stuff here. I like how they tie in, like we're seeing right now, that their previous Stark employees, like, the continuity is really great. And I think they did it service the way they should have. I think this is probably the sixth time I've seen this that I watched it before tonight.
I also love, we talked about the team of people that are with him, but this, the whole reveal scene, I do love that. I mean, listen, it's a comic book movie. It's unrealistic. I like how they try to make it somewhat realistic, where it's not him. He has a team of like 20 people that have to build all this. I like that they kind of show that a little bit more, as far as like how many people it took to do this.
The one thing I always had asked though is like, okay, so he wants to be the greatest superhero the world has ever seen or whatever, and he's got this whole team. What would happen the next time there was like an actual threat happening?
Right.
Like, Mysterio, get in there, be like,
Right. Like, I wonder that too. Like, what is exactly like your end game here?
Because you have to be working with other heroes at some point, right? Right. Like,
I hadn't thought about past the confines of this movie, but like, yeah.
If this was
a little earlier and Loki was still alive, like in the context of the movies, and Loki came back or something, it was like, I'm going to wreak havoc on your world. What's he going to do?
Like, I'm going back to 833.
The illusions, I guess. You just try to like confuse people, I guess.
But you have to like, he's 3 weeks of planning going.
Like, no, actually, wait, we just figured it out. It would literally be Mysterio went back to his home planet, like Poochie. that's probably what would happen. Like, all right, guys, all's well here. I'm out.
Like Thor showing up and smashing a drone. He's like, well, crap. I guess I don't have anyone's ear anymore.
Yeah, guess it's back to 833 for me.
I mean, I guess he's got Edith, so he would probably use just the drones and all of that power do that. But like, yeah, like his shtick would, well, even just like what was he thinking was gonna happen at the end, where he's like, no, launch the thing, like make the illusion
come
back. Yeah, but then he brought the illusion back and it was like, what? Everybody saw
he did make a good point though. When you see something that insane and that extreme, people already want to believe. Remember, he said like people already want to believe. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't blame him based on what we've seen, right? Like half of the people in the universe disappeared, and you know, you've seen an alien invasion. So like, if it looked that real, it would be, I mean, we see how stupid people are every day in real life. Like,
I know.
People would believe it.
Stupid people on this show.
my selfish hope is that, I know it would be kind of cheesy, but like, I don't I hope he's not actually dead, and we might see Mysterio again in another movie. Like, I think that would be cool.
Look pretty dead, Monty. Look pretty dead.
He did.
Did he really die, though? That's what I mean. Easy illusion. I mean, I don't know. Jake Gyllenhaal might not be back based on.
I mean, he looked.
Just don't fall by the sea. He'll be fine.
He looked as dead as Nick Fury looked in Civil War, right? True. Or not Civil War, Winter Soldier, excuse me.
True.
He was a gunshot, right? That he died from. True. So, I mean, whatever.
But like when Trump fired some pretty big bullets, dude. That was a big gun.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously can bring him back.
You can hand wave that. Yeah, I was gonna say he looked dead. Like,
it was no an illusion. Although dead. Edith said that it wasn't an illusion, but
yeah, but she could be lying.
Yeah, he inserted a line of code into Edith to say he was dead.
There you go.
Like you can hand wave it away if you want to, but
Kevin Feige's gonna give you a call.
I think he's dead. That's yeah,
it. I think he's probably dead.
Can we use
it? It's wishful thinking. Yeah. But I'm a big Mysterio fan from the comics, so like for me it had one of those. They did like I don't feel like they wasted him. They did a great job, but it's like one movie, okay.
Whatever. Yeah, he's kind of one of those. Well, and Gyllenhaal did such a good job. Like it'd be nice if they could find a way to bring him back. I don't think they will. I think he's dead. But
so that'll wrap this one. We'll be back. We're going back into order, right? So we've got Black Widow in two weeks.
Yeah, which I'm especially excited about.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And then Shang-Chi, or is it Eternals after that?
Oh, you're right. I don't actually love you.
Eternals and
I want to say Shang-Chi just because that's what I want to believe.
I know you want to say Shang-Chi.
I think it's the Eternals, though.
No, it's Black Widow, then Shang-Chi, then Eternals.
There we go.
We got one more. I have not seen Black Widow since I saw it in the theater, so this will only be my second time seeing it.
I've watched it a couple times. I watched it once, and I watched it with my wife. I enjoyed it. I'm excited to revisit it again.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it again. Yeah. I don't have any preconceived ill will from my first watch.
The only negative, and we've talked about it before, is that I wish it was in its correct place.
Yeah.
I think it would.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I think it would make it's way out of order.
Right.
Where they originally wanted it.
Yeah.
She's been dead for years.
One of the things we'll talk about, it's hard to give a movie weight when you know the ultimate fate of the main character ahead of time.
Right. And it.
Oh, I wonder if she's going to make it out of this one.
Counterpoint, David Harbour, Rachel Weisz, and
yes,
blank and the other. That's a great cast.
Florence Pugh.
Great cast.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we will, if all things go according to plan, we will be back with you guys in 2 weeks.
Sorry. I was out of town and forgot to let everybody know.
No one let us know. No one hit us up. It was like, what's the episode? Kind of
crazy. It got posted, though, at least.
It did. I did the thing. Yep.
We're learning. Mm-hmm.